Morning all.
The tyranny of time. I'm very conscious of the time. I've got 2 minutes. So, this will be a very, very, very short sermon. I have been furiously cutting it down while I've been sitting in the back pew. We're not going to hear about Augustine. We're not going to hear about Einstein. We're not going to hear about very many other really cool things. We're just going to have a short little homily on an alternate Christmas story. But I wanted to start with one thing that I've been thinking about all week, and it's inspired by my son sitting at the back who missed the first slide. No, the one who missed the first slide in the song. So you're going to turn me off. Okay. It's a dangerous place in front of this microphone. He loves dad jokes. And so I've been pondering his favourite dad joke. And his favourite dad joke goes like this. The past, the present, and the future all walked into a bar. It was tense. Think about it. Think. Well, the granddad got it straight away, so yeah. Thanks Andrew for laughing, but anyway. So anyway, the short version of the sermon. The passage that you don't normally hear preached on at Christmas. We normally hear from Matthew and we hear from Luke, but I want you to put your hand up if you've ever heard a sermon from Revelation 12 at Christmas. No, never heard Revelation 12 at Christmas. And yet Revelation 12, not at Christmas. No, this is a Christmas sermon, Barry. Revelation 12 is actually a Christmas passage. And it's John's version of the Christmas passage. And it goes like this, I'll read it out. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its head. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. Did you hear Christmas in that passage? Oh, no, you didn't hear Christmas, or you're confused about dragons and women and stars and signs and heaven and ruling the earth with an iron scepter. Well, verse 5, she will give birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. Who does that refer to? That is Jesus. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so we have the story of the incarnation. We have the story of the birth of Jesus, but told from a completely different perspective. A completely different perspective. It's not the finite in... I love Jenny's little display at the back. It's not the finite where the red dot is version of the Christmas story with the census and the magi and all of those very down-to-earth images of what it means for Christ to come down. But it's actually the version of the incarnation that is from the other picture. From the picture of the universe, from the picture of infinity. And from that perspective, it looks completely different. Completely different. It's a cosmic battle. There are two people with crowns fighting, aren't there? There's a red dragon with a crown, seven, blah, blah, all of that stuff. I'd love to preach a whole sermon on this, but I won't. And there's a woman crowned with the stars, crowned with the universe, in labor pains. I was reminded to go to this passage from Fee's sermon last week where she talked all about childbirth and labor pains, and it prompted me to think about Revelation 12. This is a cosmic picture of the incarnation, and it completely telescopes time. Can you see Jesus' life in Revelation 12? It's a blink and you miss it moment. A blink and you miss it moment. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter, and her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. Wait, hang on a minute. Didn't he grow up and become a carpenter and die on a cross? No. In John's vision of the incarnation, the forces arrayed on each side, the cosmic forces, the life and death of Jesus vanishes. Because that moment, the incarnation, is the pivot point of history, of the entire universe. On our logo, Rob and I were talking about this the other day, on our logo, if you've seen it, there it is, up there, AD BC, with the cross coming down from the sky. If you swapped it and called us Baptist Church, Armidale District, that actually is precisely what Revelation 12 is talking about. That the coming of Jesus splits time. It splits the universe into before and after. The infinite comes down to the finite at the moment that Christ is born. But the picture that we get in Revelation 12 says that actually it's not that very, very specific moment, but that moment is an echo of infinity. That in Jesus, before the incarnation and now after the incarnation, he was fully God and fully man, and he came to earth to save us. It was an infinite story, not a finite story. Or was it both at the same time? That's the absolute paradox of faith. And the absolute paradox of faith is found there in Revelation 12. And not because we don't recognize the symbols and it's a little bit opaque, but because in that moment where time is both instantaneous and yet cosmic, we have the mystery of the Christian faith, the whole story sitting there in that blink of an eye. It's truly awe-inspiring to reflect on. And we were going to look at Augustine, but anyway, let's finish there. I'm conscious that it's after 11, so let's spend some time in prayer and just ponder the majesty and meekness of our great King. Lord Jesus, we thank you that from before the moment of creation, this great moment in history was planned, that you would come down, that you would take on our flesh, that you would become Emmanuel, God with us, so that for all time you would protect and save and bring a people whom would love and worship and thank and praise you for all of time. We thank you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Amen.